Sunday was my fault. This is partway my fault. I will share the blame on this one, but I noticed it took two people to take care of my fault Sunday. Also, I noticed when I did the introduction, we were talking about, you know, the Lord told the people, the children of Israel, about the utter destruction, and I forgot to, that's in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. If you want to turn over there, we'll read that. I tell you everything, but I didn't show you no scriptures about it. But in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, you'll see what we were talking about. In Deuteronomy 7th chapter, verse 1, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. So, in the second verse, the Lord is telling them, he says, you need to utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Okay? Utterly destroy them and show them no mercy. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughters for your son. For they will turn your sons away from from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. So the Lord did tell them, the children of Israel, before they go into the promised land, that they were to destroy the people there in the promised land. And he names several of them and says, these are mightier than you. But you have to understand, I'm going to be with you. I don't care how mighty they are. If I'm with you, you can utterly destroy them if you obey my words. And you don't show mercy either with this, because they will lead you astray with this. And we had left off in Judges, the first chapter. We were talking about Bezek. Verse 5 says, and they found Adonai, Bezek, in Bezek. Of course, this is named after him. He is the ruler or king or whatever of this city. And fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai, Bezek, fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. We talked about that. In verse 7 it says, Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather straps under my table as I have done. So God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. All right. First off, you know, they didn't utterly destroy him, and they didn't show him any mercy. or they showed him mercy, excuse me. God told him, so you utterly destroy them and you show them no mercy. Well, you see here how quickly they are in changing their ways. You would think, though, that they would be the ruling people that can utterly destroy you with God on their side, that they would be a better influence, a better people can see that they are under the influence of God, that God is on their side. But what do? They do the same thing. They mutilate just like he did. And then very quickly you see that they have learned their ways, the ways of the wicked kingdoms here, and God was trying to keep them from doing that. That's the reason he wanted to utterly destroy them and show them no mercy, because they're they have reached their evilness or their wickedness, and it's time for them to go. And the Lord had promised, we had read before, that God had promised them that this is what's going to happen, that you will be influenced by them. And said, you influencing them, they're going to influence you. And you see here right off the bat that they are being influenced by the pagan members or king or whatever nations here. And they instead leading in the way, they're letting the other people lead their way for them. Okay. Basically, then that's basically where we're left off. Any questions or comments so far? Sherry.
You already stated that they didn't show any mercy, and this is like paganism, and this is what pagans do. They're cruel. They want to hurt somebody. They want to show the other people that they're going to be destructive. Good example of that is Russia today. I'm just going to hurt you. I'll kill some. I'll burn some. But basically, I'm going to maim and hurt. And that's not what God intended. He didn't want that to be all these pagan nations.
Yeah. That was a good point. This is a good reason why we should really kind of study Judges, is how the children of God acted, and we as Christians, how should we be acting with it? We need to be standing up with it, and he tells the people here to stand up, and we'll look at another one about Rome itself. Paul would tell them not to be conformed to it. But you see that they are being conformed to their ways and not God's way. Well, we should as Christians always be conformed to God's way. And yet, the only way you can really basically do that is to know his word, know his commandments. And these people did know the commandments. Kenny? This is Rose.
Well, I'll go back to the comment I had made about God had promised Abraham, this is the land you are going to dwell. Your descendants are going to possess. But the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So the iniquity of peoples that lived in the land hadn't reached the point. God was still giving them forbearance and an opportunity to repent, but they didn't. So now it's time. His plan was to use his people to clear the land, reset the button, and have it where they would have the land of milk and honey. But, as we're learning, they didn't listen to God. And aren't we the same way today?
Yes.
We don't listen to what God tells us for our own good. And that's what he was trying to get them to understand. For your own good, you need to go in and utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land.
They really think they're doing something by cutting it off his thumb and his big toe. They think that is really mutilating like that way. It's a good ideal or everything like that, but that's not God's way. Period, people. We do it God's way and not our ways, and especially these evil people's way. Cindy? Well, and God had told them what would happen, and they just did not believe it, or did not want to understand it, or thought their ways were better, or whichever or whatever they could be. They did not follow God's way, and they didn't pay attention to God. And now they're receiving the consequences of what God, he told them, this is the consequences that you're going to come up to. What's going to happen to you? And he was absolutely right. As we go through this, you're going to see what everything that God said is true with that. Anything else? Yeah, Kenny. Well, basically you see that history repeats itself over and over and over again. And it's with Judah, you're going to see, when you see the different judges they had, they come in and they take care of them, everything like this, and then it gets back to good, but then they go right back to the cycle again. It's just over and over again. Well, mankind is just like this. We are just like this. All right. Yes.
One of the Ten Commandments only for the Israelites, because in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, did that mean you not kill the Israelites? Because now he's telling you about to completely destroy non-Israelites.
Well, thou shalt not kill, it didn't say thou shalt not kill only Israelites. But they're acting as God's messengers or what he tells them to do. God told the children here, I'm giving you this land, this promised land. I promised this to Abraham from the very beginning. Now, if you're faithful children, that means you have to do something other. And to do this, I'm telling you, to utterly destroy them. Because if we don't, you're going to be worse than they are.
I'm
myrrh.
Possibly one of the reasons that the children of Israel failed to utterly destroy the people is that, you know, you get kind of tired of killing people. You know, you can kill people in the heat of the moment of battle and so forth, but then when it gets down to the women and children and just genocide is what God commanded, that becomes very difficult to do, even if it's at God's command. So you try looking for some way to justify not doing that. You know, maybe these people weren't that bad. You know, but there was no excuse for it. They should have done what God said. But the command, "Thou shalt not kill," means "Thou shalt not murder." If it meant kill, then you wouldn't be able to kill anything, including animals. That's the short answer to that.
Yeah. Well, in the Old Testament, this is really helps me out a lot with it, that we see God in action. Now, what do you hear preach all the time? God is love. But how can he kill these people? A whole nation he can kill. They weren't his people, but they did a great sin. They kept on. And they were influencing the righteous ones too. They were bringing, they are in the dark, and they were getting the people in the light and bringing them over to the darkness, away from God. God's not leaving us. Them are the ones that are leaving God. And they have already left God. They're doing what they want to do. Whatever pleases them. That's what the world is doing right now too. That's what countries long ago, Rome, did. They just do what they please to do. Well, which one's right? God. He is the creator. God is good. And he's merciful today, so long as you obey him. If you don't obey him, then they died. What's going to happen to you if you don't obey God in the day of judgment? You just get away from me. I don't know who you are. Depart away from me. And so, the thing is, you learn from this that God means what he said. When I tell you to utterly destroy this nation, because they're going to influence you, you're going to be lost. Then I'm telling you this is for your goodwill. And your goodwill is kill them. Like Doug said, it would be awful hard to kill women and children and stuff like that. But I want to obey God. Somebody over here?
You know, it's a cruel thing to say, but it's a truthful thing to say. God already knew these people were evil, and they had been slaughtered. They were slaughtered to go to hell. He is going to do everything in his power to protect his people because he wants them. And it's awful to say. chop it off. He said, cut it off, because I don't want you picking up their traits. And it's hard for us to understand, but it's the reality of the truth. And it's going to happen to us. The reality of the truth is, are you going to go with Satan? Are you going to turn yourself around? And are you going to follow me? That's the truth of it. There's nothing else. And it's hard for us to accept it. That's it.
That's true. Cindy?
Well, God's ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. God knows the heart of the man. You know, even as parents, as we're raising our children, you know, we see characteristics in other children that we tell our children, you need to stay away from them. You keep yourself away from them. They're a bad influence. That's not the person you need to spend time with. You know what I'm saying? And we do that because we love our children, and we want them to be obedient.
Christians they should be.
So, you know, God, there's a lot of things that we don't understand as human beings because we don't have the capability to understand like God does. But when God obviously knew these people's hearts and knew that they would not be a good influence on His own people and that they would corrupt them over time.
Okay.
Dale, did He have like 400 years, 400 plus years, an opportunity to come to repentance if they were going to? But they didn't. You know, from the time He made the promise to Abraham to the time that the children came out of Egyptian bondage, it was like, 400 plus years that they had, that the people of Canaan had time to repent. And didn't.
There's plenty of examples and stuff like that, but basically there's you're going to either serve God or you're going to serve Satan. And you make the choice. I can't make the choice for you. I have to make my own choice. But if I have my brothers, I would rather serve the Lord in anything and instead of serving David. The devil, because I know what's going to happen if I serve the devil. I'm not going to get no reward with that way. Anything else somebody else had? Okay. 8 to 11, he says, now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And so we see here that Judah and Simeon had said they would help each other, but right now you're seeing in verse 8, the next few verses here, that Judah is acting more of his own. And then it says, and afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains, in the south, and in the lowland. Okay. The mountains is like Jerusalem and Hebron, and those are the higher elevation. That's the more of the north of that way. And in the south is more of a desert light, and you had that lowlands, which is the between or the foothills or the between. That's going to play a little bit of part later on. But the mountain area is the north, the south is a desert land, and the lowlands or the foothills are right in between those. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron, and Hebron is a little bit north of Jerusalem, and it's above sea level. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba. And they killed, here's the three guys, Sheshai, Hamad, and Talmah. These are the sons of Anak. We will see those in verse 20 in a minute. Then verse 11, from there they went against the inhabitants of Debar. The name of Debar was formerly Kirjath Sefer. And so you see some of these names here, but the location is going to help us out some a little bit later on. And here is a little excerpt, a little note instead in here, a little story. Then Caleb said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer, which is Hebron, and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Asha as wife. Okay? So he given this out and says, if you will take this Hebron, I'll be overthrow it or take it, you can have my daughter. And Othniel, the son of Kenzah, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So this is Caleb's nephew. So he gave him his daughter, Asha, as wife. He overtook Hebron. So his reward was from Caleb, you can have my daughter as your wife. So she goes in verse 14. Now it happened when she came to him, which is her husband, Othniel, that she urged him to ask her father for a field. And normally you get a dowry or a blessing or something. And then she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? All right, she went to her husband first and said, we need this field as a dowry for us. And so she goes sees Caleb, her father. And he sees her come in and gets off the donkey and says, well, what do you want? And verse 15, so she says to him, give me a blessing, okay? Give me a blessing. This goes along with my marriage here. Since you have given me land in the south. All right, what is the south? That's desert. That's it. That's arid. It's a desert type setting here. And she says, give me also springs of water. Well, she knew that the south region here was a desert, and land, desert land is not as valuable or not as good unless you got water. And she said, how about give me some water, some springs that will go with this so we could have that to go with our land. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So he gives her as her blessing this water to go with the land so that it will be much more productive and much more valuable to them. So the land in the south is the desert area, and this is a little narration and story that comes along with them coming into their land. Any questions or thoughts on about this one? I didn't want to say that, but she is. I thought she was kind of shrewd with that. I thought she didn't get to to choose her husband, and she really didn't get to choose the land, but she can say, I can do a little bit better than that. And so she got some water to go with her land. So yeah, I thought she did a good job with that.
But she also asked for a blessing.
Yeah, that goes with it for the marriage. A lot of times they will give a dowry. You see with other examples too that we have that they would give them some land, or they would give them some animals and things like this with it. And so since they got the land, she was wanting to make it more productive or more valuable for them, for her and her husband with that. So if you read back when you go with Jacob giving all 12 of the tribes a blessing with that. And so she is asking, okay, you have given your dowry to land with that. How about a blessing to go along with this? And the blessing is, I like to have a more productive type of land. Any other questions or comments? All right. Now we come back in verse 16. Now the children of the Kenite, which is Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms, and I think the city of Palms is Jericho. And from all indication, that might be a pretty good example. With the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. So you got the Canaanites going to come down and live in, with the tribe of Judah. They have come out and taken this land in the south, which shows you that they had gotten all this land, and Simeon was right in the middle of it. And Judah went to his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabit Jephthah and utterly destroyed it. Okay, we finally see utterly destroyed. And Judah and his brother came along and attacked the Canaanites and just and utterly destroyed them. So after they utterly destroyed them, they're going to keep a city there. Apparently, it was a good place for it. And they changed the name of it to Hormah. And Hormah means to utterly destroy. And so that's an appropriate name for this city now. Then he also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ascalon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. These are three of the five Philistine cities on more on the eastern coast. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out of the mountains, or out of the Mount Hermon, it says, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, which is your flatlands or in between, because of the church of Arn. So they let the children stay. They had God on their side. They had God on their side. And they could have done anything. Anything. But they didn't. Because they let them have what they wanted. Because it seemed like, well, they're a little bit more advanced. They've got chariots that's got honor. They're a little bit more powerful than we are. No. This is what happens when you're in the second and the third generation away from God. That you don't really put your faith and your trust into God like you should have. And if they'd have done what they had done, or what are supposed to have done, they would have conquered them. But they didn't. And it looks like class is over with. So we'll begin with verse 20 come Sunday morning. Thank you.